You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 16th of September 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market rose 0.33% to 8,877 and when the Australian dollar reached a 10-month high of about 66.76 US cents. For more on that and what it means, I spoke with Chris Weston. He's the head of research at Pepperstone. Chris, firstly, US shares continue to rally, the NASDAQ at a record high overnight, the AI players in particular doing well, Alphabet, the owner of Google, now a $3 trillion US dollar company. But how much of it has to do with expectations the US will cut official interest rates there on Thursday morning?
Well, I think people have had expectations rate cuts for some time, so I don't, it's not really much of a new phenomenon, really. Yeah, there has been rotation within sectors, within the S&P and almost within the NASDAQ as well. You know, people have been in value, people have been in financials, and they sort of rotate into the the high growth, high quality end of town. But if you have a look at Alphabet, I mean, it's been in absolute beast mode for ages now. I mean, it's absolutely ripping, and momentum favours the brave, and you've got a stock that is benefiting from a change in the regulatory situation, but also, you know, their move into the AI scene as well. Their TPU is potentially cutting a bit of NVIDIA's lunch. I think, you know, Tesla had a big move last night. Everyone got very excited about Elon Musk buying two and a half million shares. I think you put it into context when the guy already owns 500 million shares. It's a bit of a blip in the ocean, but a bit of a stamp on his confidence in the business. And $1 billion is still a decent sum. But yeah, look, the market's been high on expectations for interest rates for some time. But I think right now, people want to be in the growth, but I think they still want to be in the very high quality end of town. And I think there's a lot of momentum that's sort of driving these AI stocks at the moment.
When it comes to that interest rate decision by the Federal Reserve, what's the big question there? Is it about the outlook or is it by how much it will go by?
Well, I think there's a growing concern that the Fed are behind the curve now. I mean, we're talking about the households in America who are seeing jobs harder to get. You know, every single month you see that statistic going up. People's real incomes are falling. And I think there's a concern that if there will be a recession in the future, it's going to be a household consumer behavioural issue rather than what we're seeing in the business sector, which is actually flourishing quite well at the moment. So there is a view that, given what we've seen with payrolls, the revision is lower, the 3-month trend we're seeing, what we're seeing continued claims and various parts of the labour market, that the Fed could well be behind the curve and that the consumer could start ramping up their savings rate, cutting back on the discretionary items. And we'll probably see some of the signs of that in tonight's retail sales print. But if that's the case, I mean, really what you're looking at now is if you look at interest rate pricing, where the market's not just expecting a rate cut this coming September Fed meeting, but also in October, potentially in December, and maybe even another one in January. That is the sign that the market is saying that the Fed are behind the curve and they really need to catch up with this situation. So the Fed really need to express a certain urgency that if they cut 25 basis points, will they show the urgency to get the Fed funds rate down to more of a neutral setting around that 3%? That's, if we don't see that urgency that meets that rates pricing, then you could see the dollar rally. You could see Treasury sell off a bit. Maybe gold comes under pressure. But I think there's every chance here that the Fed will show their hand, that they're in the mood for cutting rates further from September.
Can you go into a bit of detail about how the Australian dollar has been reacting to this? Because it's at a 10-month high against the greenback.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's looking really strong at the moment. I mean, obviously, that when you're looking at the US dollar, it's largely a US dollar play. And the US dollar has been weakening on a broad basis for those factors that I said, that people are seeing the Fed not just starting an easing cycle when a lot of other central banks are closer towards the end. But there's a concern that the Fed could be behind the curve, and also that you've got Donald Trump trying to play an influence on the Federal Reserve itself. And that means that you've got to wear a slightly higher premium for the US dollar. Now, I think Australia is actually looking quite good on a relative basis. So it's why the Australian dollar has not just been rallying against the US dollar, but also against the euro. We're trading at the highest levels against the Kiwi since 2022. So the Aussie dollar has been performing very well on a broad basis as well. And I think if you look at relative interest rates, relative growth, political stability with a fairly low deficit compared to a lot of other countries, and I say political stability relative to France, the US to an extent, and also Japan. I mean, we're looking like a beacon of stability, relatively speaking. So I think the Australian dollar has been performing quite well. And, iron ore has been quite strong recently. Chinese equity markets, have been absolutely ripping. So it's been a sort of Goldilocks scenario for Australian dollar outperformance. And, it's been a strong contender, not just against the US dollar, but on the crosses as well.
What about the narrowing interest rate differential between Australia and the US, especially if you're talking about now the potential for maybe a 50 basis point cut in the US, or at the very least some successive rate cuts? Because some experts in Australia, I've seen some commentary from economists suggesting that they can't necessarily discount the potential for the RBA to actually be done with cutting rates.
Yeah, and I think that's probably going to be decided when we get the Q3 CPI print, which comes out in late October. So, that could really dictate the situation, because Australia's growth rate at the moment, 1.8%, is pretty much where we call potential. So it's kind of the equilibrium level where if it goes up any further and a faster rate of change, then effectively that increases the chance of inflation playing through. So we are, we're seeing relative growth. Australia at 1.8% compared to the rest of the world, a lot of other G10 countries looking quite in a good spot, and we expect that to accelerate into next year. So that CPI print could be very telling indeed. But I suspect at the moment, the consensus is that we'll see another rate cut from the RBA in the November meeting, 4th of November. That could be the last one we see in the cycle. The market's pricing two in the entirety of the cycle, to the trough rate. But where it goes in the Fed, I think, is a very different situation. So relative interest rates have been working in Australian dollars appreciation, whether you're looking at the Australia-US two-year yield differential or whether you're looking at actual sort of tradable derivative interest rates. You've seen that, the move in Australia, what's being priced into to the rate cut expectations, moving up relative to what we've been seeing in the US. And that's put some tailwinds into the Australian dollar. So, I think it's interesting. I think there's definitely risks in terms of market pricing that the RBA deliver less cuts than what's being priced. And I think there's a real risk that the Fed deliver more cuts than what's being priced at the moment, which, again, gives you some probability that the Australian dollar could continue to appreciate against the US dollar.
But basically just answer the question I was going to follow up with, because
sorry, mate.
You mentioned earlier that the Australian dollar is in a Goldilocks scenario, right? But you also acknowledge the potential for the US dollar to continue to climb if the Fed outlook is a bit softer. But what are you baking into your forecast, a stronger Australian dollar from here on?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to get overly excited about the, about a ripping trend that takes us markedly above 70 cents anytime soon. The US dollar is still underowned. There's been quite a lot of short selling of the currency recently, and the interest rate curve in the US is still pretty rich in terms of expectations from that. But if you look at the risks to economics right now, I think the risks are very much skewed towards the downside in US economics, whereas I think they're skewed to the upside in Australia. I think China's probably going to add stimulus, which will increase their growth rate at a time when we're starting to see a bit of fragility. The expectations for a recession in the US are still, say, 30% or so, which I think could increase if the consumer feels the pinch and starts to stave off. And, we start seeing businesses showing signs of retrenching. I think in that environment, you start looking at the flow-based effects in FX markets. So things like asset managers increasing their hedging ratios for US assets. And I think then, that would be a big negative again for the US dollar. So I think all the signs are right now that there are real risks that the US dollar could go down further and actually, go in a bear trend, which, depending on what happens with equity risk, and, if it was to see, that sort of concern permeates into equity markets falling, I mean, that would be a negative for the Australian dollar. But, if we were to see equity markets holding up and people getting really concerned about what was happening in the US economy, I think, that could be a very positive effect for the Australian dollar and see it trade, nicely above 70 cents going forward.
It's Chris Weston there from Pepperstone talking about the Australian dollar. And now on the Australian share market, which rose 0.3% on the S&P ASX 200 on 8,877. 8 of 11 sectors ended higher. The best performing includes energy, consumer discretionary materials. The worst performing sectors, healthcare and consumer staples. And of the best and worst performing stocks, Deep Yellow, one of the best, up by around 9%, followed by Boss Energy. The worst performing stocks include Babcor, down 3%, and the worst performer, Super Retail Group, off by 4.3%. For more on all that, here's more with Chris Weston from Pepperstone. Super Retail sacking its CEO in light of new information about his relationship with the company's former HR boss. It follows a similar situation with the former boss of Nestlé overseas. Then, of course, there's that infamous kiss cam moment at a Coldplay concert. The question is, are stakeholders becoming increasingly, I guess, attuned to the social and ethical responsibilities held by management?
Well, I think, yeah, let's put these two cases in context. I mean, it's not exactly like it happens all the time, and it's rife within the business community at a CEO level. These are very rare events. But, you know, obviously, when you do see a leader, you know, departing under such, you know, strange circumstances, you know, it does throw the idea of managing risk and understanding, you know, earnings and how the company direction is going to go a bit more problematic, which is why we're seeing, you know, the share price under pressure. But I think if you take something like Super Retail today, I mean, we traded down to a low of $16.03, and we've come back up. And I think that's largely because, yeah, people are looking at the succession plans here and seeing, you know, a candidate like Mr. Burns coming in. He's been in the place for a long time. You know, he's a steady pair of hands. He knows the business quite well. But there's obviously other people who are potentially in the mix. You know, Super Retail have a long history of recruiting internally into the management positions. So I think he would be seen as a natural successor. But as I say, there's other people in the place. But yeah, to your point, I think what's going to happen now is given we've seen these two very high profile cases, and it's sort of led to the share price coming under pressure, and obviously shareholders don't want to see that. I think there's going to be a large sort of focus within. You know, corporate boards and within the senior management teams to sort of reinforce the idea that people need to do the right thing.
And finally, in wrapping our conversation up today, how are you feeling as an investor? What are you telling your clients right now? And are there any opportunities you're seeing?
Well, so we still say stay positive on the risk dynamic. I know people have been talking about very narrow risk leadership and concentrated breadth in the S&P and the NASDAQ. But for me, I think every pullback has been a buying opportunity. It's been very shallow. You know, every time there's bad news, it's been, you know, buyers have come back in very quickly. It's not the sign at this point of a market that really wants to roll over and go down. So I'm a buyer of pullbacks in equity markets, and certainly in Japan, Australia to an extent, but certainly in the US as well. I still see downside in the US dollar. Yeah, and I think gold's really interesting. I mean, it's all-time highs. It's here for a reason. It's got a number of headwinds working for it. And I think it works really well as a diversifier because it's very poor correlation or low correlation with equities and treasuries as well. So I think gold continues to look really good. Even buying at all-time highs is very hard to do, but it's here for a reason. And the market's got a love affair. So you can get that hedge against pretty much everything that's working. And I think that continues to work very nicely. So that's kind of where I'm looking at the world, still staying positive. But, you know, strange things do happen when a market that's been anticipating central bank cuts for a long period of time, and especially as one as important as the Fed, actually go and do it. You know, that kind of sell the fat playing through. So just keeping an open mind that the market will do whatever it wants to do.
That's Chris Weston there from Pepperstone. And he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.